Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In other news from the region today, Israelis and Palestinians are continuing peace talks that started in Washington. This is the first time in nearly 5 years that the two sides face each other in formal talks at home. But reaching an agreement will not be easy. Israel conducted an airstrike today against rocket launchers in the Palestinian-held Gaza Strip in response to a rocket shot into Israel. There was also a release of Palestinian prisoners this week, but many Israelis are not happy about that. So what can we expect from these talks? Aaron David Miller has served as a top Middle East negotiator in both Republican and Democratic administrations. He joins us from the Woodrow Wilson Center in Washington, where he is a vice president. Aaron David Miller, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, first, how does what's happening in Egypt affect what's going on in these talks?
Well, it's rather remarkable that the Middle East is burning. Syria is in civil war. Egypt is in chronic political dysfunction. And what you've seen on the streets today, the situation is only going to get worse. And yet, despite all of this, in a normally combustible arena, the Israeli-Palestinian arena, you have a kind of preternatural calm. And I think that is one of the things that is so curious about this period. It's a curiosity in large part because John Kerry, Barack Obama, and I suspect Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas want to road test the possibility that they could use this momentary calm, and it will not last, it will not endure, to see whether or not any kind of an agreement is possible. But regional uncertainty over time works against this process. And should the Egyptian-Israeli relationship be fundamentally affected, Egypt drift into chaos, and the treaty not respected, the prospects of anything happening on the Israeli-Palestinian front will diminish in a commensurate fashion.
Well, what about the air fire we're hearing about between Israel and the Gaza Strip? And, by the way, the prisoner release and the feelings in Israel about that. How do you think that the people on both sides are responding to what's going on, and how does that play into it?
Well, I think in large part, the peace process, based on my own experiences, has been kind of hermetically protected from the broader public constituencies and events and realities on the ground, but unsatisfactorily and not successfully. I think now it is absolutely clear that if, in fact, an agreement is to be reached, then you're going to have buy-in from both the Palestinians and the Israelis, and you're going to have a degree of, I guess, serious and significant confidence builders and enhancers from each side to make real what normal Israelis and Palestinians right now do not see. So prisoner releases are as painful as they are from the Israeli side. A decision on the part of the Palestinian Authority not to make an issue out of stated with the UN or try to take Israel to the International Criminal Court. A de facto, and I use the term loosely here, a de facto diminution in building on the part of the Israelis that's already been contradicted, as we've seen, will help out in this regard. But you cannot, in this anomalous, contradictory situation where you are dealing with a four-decade-old dance between an occupier and the occupied, particularly given the divisions within the Palestinian national movement, protect the negotiations from what is going to happen on the ground. That includes settlement activity, which is going to continue. That includes exchanges between the Israeli military and groups operating either in Sinai or in Gaza, including Hamas. So it's going to be a huge challenge, not to mention, as we know, the issues that are actually in the negotiating room on the table.
What do you make of the fact that we're not hearing much out of the parties or John Kerry, the Secretary of State? Does the silence coming specifically from the State Department bode well?
Well, this is the most curious thing of all. I participated on and off in negotiations for almost a 20-year period, and invariably there are leaks, some small, some large, some negotiation wrecking. This degree of radio silence is really quite curious. Never experienced anything like it before. It continues with a discipline and a rigor that is really impressive, and it leads the observer to one or two conclusions. Either there's something there to protect, or alternatively, there's very little to protect. And I'm not entirely sure. I tend toward to believe in the former, that in effect, John Kerry has heard, both from Netanyahu and Abbas, things that were actually quite new, things they cannot say to one another, things they cannot say publicly, but things they have invested Kerry with. If that is in fact the case, then these negotiations may actually have a chance to accomplish something. If there are no terms of reference, if the parties have not confided anything substantively to the secretary for him to put in his pocket for now, then I think we're headed for trouble, because there will be no overriding mutually agreed objective or parameters for these negotiations, and that could prove to be disastrous.
Aaron David Miller of the Woodrow Wilson Center, and we should say we spoke with Madeleine Albright when these talks began, and she said this is the beginning of the beginning, so probably a lot more to talk about in the days and weeks and maybe months ahead. Aaron David Miller, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.